All right, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Most of us know it. Just going to read it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The NIV says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Somebody say prosper. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. How many people know God has plans to prosper them? God has a plan to prosper you. Look at somebody next to you and say that. God has a plan to prosper you. Tell somebody else that. God has a plan to prosper you. Amen. This is so important that we understand that, because oftentimes people go through situations in life and then we have a tendency of looking at God as if he's the cause of our problems or he's the reason for our pains. So it's very hard to have faith in God if I think he's the reason why I'm in this mess. Right? Many Christians are schizophrenic because they don't know whether they should believe God is good or God is against me. We don't know if we can reach for him or call on his name today because, you know, I did something wrong yesterday. So today, I don't know if God is still good. So we say God is good all the time, but then except for the time when, you know what I'm saying? We have this imbalance in our faith, because we've been somewhere along the line, our Christianity has been very self-centered, because we think or believe that God is reacting to what we do, but God doesn't react to what we do. You see, God didn't need us when he created this world. He didn't need us when he inspired this book. He didn't need us when he orchestrated the plan for humanity. The Bible says that before the foundations of the world, God knew us. Amen? So God has a plan, and his plan for us is always to prosper us. That's something that must be ingrained in your heart. Because even if you go through situations, you can't look to God and then wonder if God has a plan to destroy you, or to see you fail, or to see you miserable in life. Sometimes I used to think that when things wasn't working out the way that I expected or when I planned it, some things didn't work out, and so I thought God was against me. But he wasn't against me, he was against my plan. Right? Because my plans, if it didn't line up with his plans, it wasn't going to end up good. God is good, so his plans are good, and what he set for my life is always going to work out for my good. See, and his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I don't see as far as God. So what I think is working for me right now, 2 years from now, it may not be the same. So when you have faith in his word and you believe that God cannot lie, like we discussed in our previous teachings, we talked about how in Numbers it said that God is not a man that he should lie. We talked about how we know that Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. The Bible declares that there's nothing impossible for God except for one thing. To lie. He's one with his word. His word is bond. Right? The word became flesh, dwelt among us. Jesus was the word. Jesus was a walking illustration of what the word would look like if fully obeyed and truly depended on. And Jesus is trying to bring us into this life of peace, this life of rest, this life of confidence, where we know that we can trust God and take him for his word because he cannot lie. And so when I read this verse now, believing all the promises of God and believing that he cannot lie, when I read verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, this gives me all the joy and confidence that I need to go through my life. Just this verse alone. To know that God has a plan for me and a plan to prosper me, not to harm me, but a plan to give me hope and an expected end. Come on. This is good news for us. I'm going to say it again. God has a plan to prosper you. Amen. Psalm 66, verse 12. It also talks about how God wants to bring us into our wealthy place. It says that we went through fire, we went through water, but he brings us into our wealthy place. God has a wealthy place for you. And no matter where you are right now, it may not look like it, but just know that anything you're going through is always supposed to lead you to a wealthy place. No matter how high you thought you once were and where you fell back to, God is always trying to restore you higher than where you were. He's always trying to bring you to a wealthy place. Amen? Say, his plans are to prosper me. So God is mindful of what you're going through. He's mindful of what you're going through. He's mindful of what you've been through. But he's also very aware of the thoughts he's thinking towards you right now. And if you can line up and align your thoughts with God's thoughts, you will always see to it that, God, I know you're up to something good in me. I know you're up to something good. I know you're working it out for me because your thoughts and your plans are to prosper me. The reason why I feel the Lord has led me here today is because there was something that started happening to me this week in this month. I believe that as we stepped into a new month today, I believe that we stepped into a new dimension. Something the Lord told me this week, last week, was that these next 3 months are going to be 3 months of favor and acceleration. And he said, it's only going to be that for those who are in faith. Come on. Is that confirmation for some of you? This is why I'm talking to the right crowd. Because he told me this is going to be confirmation. It's what's happening to you, you probably started feeling it. You feel something different. You feel it. You sense it. There's something working. And some things feel uncomfortable now. All right? It's because he's getting us adjusted so that we can position ourselves in faith. Because the faith that we need to be in is going to catapult us into a season of favor and acceleration. And what the enemy wants to do is slow you down. So you feel like this imbalance because you want to feel comfortable in what you were doing, but you don't. Because you feel God is tugging you to another place, to make a decision that you didn't feel like making now, but you feel like you have to. Right? Acceleration. Say acceleration. He showed me this through this man of God named Joshua. Let's look at Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. I told you this is going to be a prophetic word. Joshua chapter 1. When you have it, say, I got it. Just look at 1. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Say, God is taking me into a new place. Amen. And this is a place where you're going to prosper. God needs you to prosper. His word will be void if you don't prosper. And his word cannot return to him void. God will lie if you don't prosper. Amen? Joshua 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, unto the land which I give you, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. that have I given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and its Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any person be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and have a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. He says that again. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Highlight that, underline it, do something. Put a star or something. This book, verse 8 and 9, is what I want you to focus on. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Highlight that as well. And then you shall have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Says it again. Be strong and of a good courage. Some people are strong but don't have courage. Some people have courage but are not strong. Okay? You're going to need strength and courage in this season. You're going to need strength and courage. Strength is an external feature. Courage is in here. All right? Now, we know the story of Joshua, but just for a brief recap, Joshua was the assistant or the armor bearer, as we would say today, or the servant of Moses. When Moses was going up to the mountains, receiving all the revelations and all the glory from God, Joshua was right next to him. Either he was right next to him or he was standing right by the mountain waiting for him to come out. He's witnessed all the experiences that Moses was having with God face to face. All right? Now, Joshua is like a lot of us because at this place or at this point, Joshua didn't expect Moses to leave. Joshua did not expect Moses to not be the one to lead them. He expected Moses to be the one to lead them into the promised land. He delivered them from Egypt, was leading them in the wilderness, but now they're at the very shore or at the very threshold of stepping into the next phase or the next place that God was calling them into, and Moses died. Ironically, while Joshua thought he was just simply helping Moses, God was setting him up to take over Moses' position. Why that is so interesting is because for most of us, God has done the same thing for us. We expected to just be helping out or just serving, just working at this job and just trying to make ends meet. Or I thought I was just going to be at this church to just hop out on the praise and worship team. And then all of a sudden, God has a whole nother script, a whole nother plan in mind for you. And God says, no, you're actually about to take over this post. You're waiting for the next. God says, no, you're it. You're waiting for the new. God says, you are it. Come on. So now, Joshua's here, waiting, crying, the fact that Moses is dead, the old is gone. God speaks to Joshua, says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, the river of Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I give to you. See, Jordan was the transitional place where they were going to leave their wilderness and step into their promises. Again, they were at the point. What they thought Moses was going to transition them into, Moses couldn't do it. But God needed the next generation. He needed the Joshua to arise and to lead them into this new place. And this was the land of their promises. You're thinking someone is going to lead you into your promise. God says, no, you're going to be the one to lead yourself into the promise. And when you go, others will go with you. All right? You're waiting for someone else to do it for you. God says, no, arise. I'm calling you. Isn't that interesting? Unto the land which I give to you, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that is what I give to you. Which means that if you don't go, you can't have it. Only where your foot touch, only where you actually enter. It's called proximity. I can't have access to what I don't have proximity to. And God wants to move you from the place that you're in to take you to another place, because that's the place where you need to you need to obtain your promises and you need to exhibit your faith. You see, Joshua didn't really need to use faith with Moses around. Moses did all the work. All right? But he sat there observing. And God knew he was ready. And God knows you're ready. But now you got to believe. God wants to know that you're ready. Or rather, you need to believe that you're ready. You see, why you need to leave the place that you're in, every time God used someone in a significant way in scriptures, it always required them to leave one place to go to another place. We see it from Abraham all throughout scriptures. He calls you and he tells you to leave. We will love for God to just rain down all the blessings right where we are. But it doesn't work that way. Because God needs you in faith. You have to believe. And when you're in the place where you're comfortable, then you don't have much faith. Right? It's real simple, but it's deep. Abraham had to leave his father's house, his country, his land, to enter into another land God had for him. Joseph had a revelation about ruling over his brothers and his father and everybody, but right after that, he had to leave where he lived and his family to go to Egypt. And sometimes it may not be a geographical, locational shift, but maybe it needs to be a shift in your realm of thinking. Some things you just got to leave behind. Some of us literally move places, but we're still thinking about where we were. All right? So it's not only the actual place, it's your thinking as well. Come on. You have to shift and you have to leave behind where you were to step into this wealthy place. All right? So for that to happen, God needs to do something to us internally as well as mentally. And what God did for Joshua, look at this. This whole time, God spoke to Joshua. It didn't say a prophet came. It didn't say an audible voice. However, the Lord spoke to Joshua. The Lord spoke to him and began to give Joshua seven promises about what he would do for them. But ultimately, in the end, we see the Lord remind Joshua two things. He was telling him, be strong and have courage. He tells him in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. I think he was telling him, one of the reasons why he was telling Joshua is because Joshua knew the people he was leading. It was the same people that took Moses out. The stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious, hard-headed people. All right? And Joshua is like, listen, I don't want to lead those people. A part of the reason he was crying because he felt Moses had the grace to handle those people. If Moses couldn't handle them, how am I going to do it? But the Lord said, be strong, be courageous. And this is where we will get into, verse 8. This is how you're going to prosper. And this is how you're going to prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Now, God gave three commands to Joshua in verse 8. All right? And I want you to write this down. God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your where? So God told Joshua, first, I want you to confess the word. We talked about the law of confession last week. Confess the word out of your mouth. What else he said to do? You shall meditate in it. Meditate on the word. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Obey or do the word. All right? He said, Joshua, you're going to prosper at your purpose. You're going to effectively lead the people to the promised land if you remember to do these three things. Confess the word. Meditate on the word day and night. And do it. Now, we oftentimes stress the doing part. But you won't be able to do it if you don't do the two things prior. Confessing the word and meditating on the word. This is why when we start off to do a work for God, we end up falling short, getting sidetracked, getting distracted. We lose sight. We lose courage. We lose heart. Because the key to staying in faith is these three principles right here. Confessing the word, meditating on the word, and then doing the word. Now, last week, again, we talked about confessing the word, but this time I'm going to key in on this because very few believers have ever been taught how to actually meditate on the word. I'm going to teach you this real simple, real fast. Meditating on the word, all right? This is the final lesson in this, and I'm telling you, this is going to be the key to you stepping in to the plans that God has for you to prosper you. Amen? Now, once again, it's God's way. This is God's way of prospering you. I know that the world has 80 million books out there about prosperity and how you can prosper and how you can get rich quick and do all these things. But God's way of prosperity is to meditate, to confess, and to obey the word. Now, what does it mean to meditate? The word meditate means to ponder. Meditate means to ponder. You know you're here to take notes, right? All right, to ponder, to mutter, to chew on,
to chew on,
or to go over and over again. The funny thing about meditation is that we all do it. I'm talking about biblical meditation. The funny thing about meditating is that we all meditate. All it simply means is to ponder or to go over something in your mind over and over and over again. You see, what we usually meditate on, however, are not the things God wants us to meditate on. We usually meditate on the factors that cause us to fear, to fail, to be depressed, or to lose courage. What it means to meditate is this. When I go through a situation and I start thinking about how it went wrong and I keep replaying how it went wrong in my head, that's me meditating. You get that? When I keep thinking about how that situation just went out of proportion, oh man, I'm so mad that this went, that worked out that way, I'm meditating on the situation. I'm thinking about it and I'm replaying it in my mind over and over again. When Joshua was getting ready to lead his people, the reason why he needed to be reminded to be strong and have good courage was because more than likely he was meditating on what the people of Israel did wrong that led Moses to die. You get what I'm saying? He was thinking about the factor that led to this point of his life. Now, I got to lead all his people because Moses is dead because of you. And I could only imagine what Joshua was meditating on. So the Lord said, listen, Joshua, I need you to get your thinking straight if you're going to get ready to step into this new place. The reason why most believers never see breakthrough is because their thinking is all jacked up. This is where the warfare is. It's not out here. The warfare for the believer is right in the mind. And if you don't know how to fight that battle, you'll always be defeated. So what the Lord actually gave us as a command is what he gave Joshua, that if we're going to remain strong, if we're going to remain courageous, if we're going to prosper, we have got to do these three things. Confess the word and meditate. Now, like I said, meditation is also another word for meditation is to mutter. To mutter is to say something underneath your breath. So you ever notice that when you're going over something over and over in your mind and you're just walking on the street thinking about it, you see yourself saying something under your breath like, man, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe that happened, man. This is crazy. Right? You're speaking, but to yourself. That's what meditation looks like. You see, when you meditate on the Word of God, you're taking those same practices that you always do about just random stuff. You now take that and now you root it in the Word of God. Or the command of God, or whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do. In this case, it was what the Lord just told Joshua. He said, Joshua, wherever the sole of your feet tread upon is yours. When you go to the wilderness and to Lebanon, to the great river and the river Euphrates and the land of Hittites, all these places I'll give to you. Right? All these things that he told Joshua is what he was supposed to continue to meditate and replay and mutter and speak under his breath. You know why? Because when you do that, it begins to now become just vain imaginations, and it becomes something that moves from your head down into your heart, and it becomes something that you believe. This is what renewing your mind is about, meditating on the word until it moves from head knowledge to heart knowledge. You see? Whenever I want to see a promise of God become a reality in my life, I take the word, and I just begin to go over it over and over again. And I literally block out time for it. It may be the time when I'm just going to read the word. I just get on one verse. And I say, you know what? I love that verse. Every place that the sole of my feet tread upon is mine. So I'll just keep saying that to myself. Because I want that to now leave my head. See, it's not just what you know intellectually. It's what you believe in your heart. Because it's what I believe here that transforms me. And when I believe it here, I have the authority to walk in it. It's what we call revelation. When information leaves your mind and enters into your heart, it becomes a revelation. And when something is a revelation, you now have the power to now activate it in your life. Healing only is healing to you when it's a revelation to you. Many believers know that God can heal them, but they don't see the power of God heal because it's not a revelation. It's just information. What God told Joshua would have just simply been information and a prophetic word. But unless he meditated on it and took it and internalized it and allowed it to become real to him, it would have just simply been another prophetic word and Joshua would have not been able to have good success. Because look at what he said in verse 8. After he says this, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, for then shall you make your way prosperous. God has a plan to prosper you, but you have a responsibility to make your way prosperous. All right? He has the plan, but you make your way prosperous. How do you do that? Getting that word in your heart. It's real simple. But like we said, from the inside out, God needs you to get this word in here so that it can become something real to you. It's a heart-to-heart connection. It's something that has to happen internally. Amen? So listen to this. So meditation births revelation in your heart. It brings you into a new realm of awareness, depth, and experience. And when Joshua was in a realm of fear and anxiety, his meditation shifted him to strength and courage. And as a result, the Bible tells us prosperity will flow effortlessly into our lives once we walk according to the promises of the word. Ryan, I want you to pull up that screenshot I sent you. Now, what's so amazing, and Daryl, we talked about this before, is that how it's always so interesting that the church is always slow in practicing its own principles, but then the world will take these same concepts and just succeed with them. Now, a few weeks ago, I just so happened to stumble on this article online that talked about something similar to this. And I want to show it to you guys. It talked about the most successful people today, or the most successful people, I believe, in America, and what they attributed to be the number one most important thing in their lives, the number one most important practice in their lives that allowed them to become successful. You never believe what they said. What do you think they said contributed to their successes? They didn't say all of that. They didn't say meditation on God's word, but they said meditation. I'm just going to read that first sentence. Meditation. Now, this is Ray DeLeo, the billionaire founder of Bridgewater Associates, the world's largest hedge fund firm. He explained in 2012, meditation more than anything in my life was the biggest ingredient of whatever success I've had. Diallo is in good company. More and more leaders in the corporate world have been taking note of the benefits of meditation, which include lower stress levels, improved cognitive functioning, creative thinking and productivity, and even improved physical health. A number of Fortune 500 companies, including Google, AOL, Apple, and Aetna, offer meditation and mindfulness classes for employees, and the top executives of many major corporations say that meditation has made them better leaders. All right? Let's just scroll through some of the people that's there. Rupert Murdoch, chairman and CEO of News Corp. I don't know her. Keep going. Let's get to the more popular people. All right, next one. That's Bill Ford, the executive chairman of Ford Company. These are the people that they just given a list of people who continue to say meditation is what allowed them to succeed. Oprah. All right. Number six, Larry Brilliant, the CEO, skull of Global Threats Fund. He's probably, I think, one of the directors of Google as well. The guy Ray Dalio we just talked about. All right. Russell Simmons, y'all know him, right? And some other people who are rich. All right. Now I'll show you the links. I'll let you read the link. But I just saw, I was just thinking about how when I saw this article, I was just saying to myself, Lord, I don't see more believers talking about meditation. And I went on AOL, and that was the first article I saw that same day. And the Lord just showed me, when we don't use our principles, the enemy will always provide a counterfeit based on our principles to cause his people to succeed. When right here in the Word of God, written over 2,000 years ago, well, here, this book, the Lord says, if you allow this book to remain in your mouth, meaning that you're confessing this word out of your mouth, and if you choose to meditate on these laws day and night, make it a discipline, make it a practice of yours, and that you find yourself observing to do what the word says, then you will make your way prosperous and then have good success. Now, what I love about this also is that he said good success, which means there can be bad success. Now, I don't know what kind of success they're pulling in, all right? I don't know what kind of success they're having or what God they're tapping into, because I don't know what they're meditating on. But when we meditate on the Word, we know that we're meditating on the Lord. And the Lord says, when you meditate on me, I will make your ways prosperous. Hallelujah. And you will have good success. I think they said something like Ray Dalio said he meditates like 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the day, in the night, day and night. Same stuff. Same concepts. But they use it. And it's time for us as believers, if we are the people of God, we have got to use the stuff that God said to do. And we can't blame God. We can't blame the devil. We have got to use our faith. And faith is obedience to the word. So like I said, as I close, these next 3 months are going to be seasons of favor and acceleration. I'm telling you, we're going to see God do things rapidly and quickly in these next 3 months. But that's going to come when we do what the word says. Now, doing what God tells you to do. For some of you, God may be speaking to you about doing something. It may be for you to go to school. It may be for you to start a business, or you may be working on your business. It may be for you to, you know, do something. Whatever the Lord has called you to do in this season, understand that the key to doing it is by confessing it and meditating on it. The Bible says in another scripture, 2 Chronicles 20:20, he says, believe. Let's turn to it. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Oh, you don't have to turn to it. I'll turn to it before you. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. All right. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you be prosperous in this day. At this time, they had to wait on the word of the Lord from a prophet. In today's covenant, under the new covenant, a prophet can speak to me, or the Lord himself can speak to me. So we have prophetic connections externally and internally. Amen? You got to learn to believe the prophetic in you and the prophetic around you. And when you learn to do that, you can prosper. Because God is speaking to you and telling you things that you should do. But if you don't obey the word of the Lord in you and the word of the Lord coming from around you, you ain't going to prosper. And the way that you get that word in you is by meditating on it. When you get a prophetic word, you need to write it down. You need to record it. And you need to replay it over and over. Meditate on it. Walk around talking about it to yourself. Come on. Until you get it in you and you really believe that what the Lord said about me, I'm getting it. I'm doing it. I see myself prospering. I see myself walking into that new territory. I see myself walking into that new career. I see myself prospering. Come on. It's not until you see it and you feel it and you believe it. You don't believe it. Come on. When you still put up barriers and boundaries around your capacity, when you still talk yourself out of doing the will of God, then you need to do some more meditating. All right? You need to talk yourself into the promises of God. I can do this. I can accomplish this. I can walk into my wealthy place. Come on. You talk yourself into it. You meditate. Come on. You keep speaking this word into your life. Final word, Psalms 1, verse 1. Come on. God wants you to prosper, but you have to make your way prosperous. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he what? Meditate when? Day and night again. So you should set that as a goal. Write that as a reminder in your phone. I need to meditate tonight. I need to meditate in the morning. What are you going to meditate on? You're going to meditate on the word. You're going to meditate on a promise. Whether it's a prophetic word that you received, or it's a rhema word that God gave you from a scripture you're reading, maybe a word that you hear tonight, whatever it is that God speaks to you, meditate on it. Visualize yourself experiencing the benefits of the word. Get your heart and mind into an agreement with what God's word says about you. Convince your heart or persuade your heart about what God says. God already believes in you. You need to believe in yourself. You need to believe that you can do what God says you can do. When you meditate day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. Always refreshed, always revitalized, that brings forth fruit in his season. This is your season. God wants you to bring forth fruit. Your leaf shall not wither. You shall not dry up. And whatever you do shall what? You see the divine connection between meditation and prospering? It flows effortlessly. Many Christians don't prosper because they don't meditate. I just showed you a list of 10 billionaires who prospered because they meditate. But I don't know if they have good success. They just have success. But good success comes when we meditate on the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, God wants you to have good success. Hallelujah. Say, I will prosper in this season. I will have good success. Let the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, that I may prosper and that my leaves will not wither and that I will bring forth fruit in this season. In other seasons, I may not have been fruitful, but this season, I will be fruitful. I will step into my wealthy place. I will prosper. For your plans are for me to prosper. And I will. I agree. I accept the provision and the promise of the Word of God that I will prosper and be in good health, even as my soul prospers. Thank you for prospering me, Lord. I'm willing to meditate on your word. Hallelujah.